friends, I'm back again today with a new episode of Chitty Checks. And I don't know if my audience is tired of me saying I'm excited, but I hope not, because this is just the energy that we bring. And I know the best humans on the planet, and my job is to introduce other humans on the planet. And so today I have this wonderful human named Jethro Jones, who sort of randomly landed in my life. And at a conference, just happened to be a guest on his podcast. And then we have just built a relationship. And now Jethro is actually a part of my life every week. And I'm gonna let you introduce yourself. And then I want to get into the weeds about you and who you are and what you do.
Okay. So thank you. I'm excited to be here and very grateful for this opportunity to chat with you. I had you on my show, Resilient Schools. I am a big time nerd in a lot of ways. Three main ways. Number one, education. Really yes. Fascinated about learning and how we learn and how we convey that learning and all that. Number two, really fascinated about podcasting and how we get our voices out there, which is why I started Resilient Schools, in addition to my other podcast, Transformative Principle, and my other podcast, Cyber Traps, which is the other thing that I'm really interested in, which is technology and how it impacts our life and how we use it as a tool to help us be better versions of ourselves, while also being very aware that it is incredibly damaging in a lot of different ways. So, you know, I'm aware of that also. Beyond that, been a school teacher, a district level person, school principal for several years in Utah and Alaska. And I currently live in Washington State. And like, we could go so many different directions, but that's a little bit about me.
Well, and that's why I love when people introduce themselves. And one of the reasons I'm attracted to you and your energy is the depth of who you are. And so one of the things that happens in my life is it's not an all or nothing. It's not one person is one thing. Part of this podcast and these chitty chats are peeling back the layers of people. And so Jethro comes into my life as a professional. And then I'm like, oh, there's so much more to Jethro. Yeah. Right? And I think that that's what makes this human experience so exciting. So let's start out with the education piece. And I just want to hear a little bit about, I mean, all the things, right? You were an educator for a long time. You're an administrator. You're still supporting educators. You wrote this beautiful book called School X, which is fabulous. So tell me just about that journey for you.
Yeah. So I resisted my whole young life becoming a teacher because I thought being a teacher, you can't make any money. And so I resisted it. And silly me thought that being a teacher meant that you had to be in a K-12 classroom. And that's what teaching people was. As I've grown and learned and developed, I realized you can teach people in a lot of different ways. And really, like, that's where the podcasting stuff comes from, is that I am teaching myself and teaching other people through that. I call podcasting learning in dog years, because I get to learn so much faster because I get to go to experts who know the answer to the problem I'm facing and get their perspective, and then I can apply it in my life. So let's talk about the education piece, though, because I did decide to become a teacher, did alternative routes to licensure, got a degree in English. So I don't have an education degree. My master's is in educational leadership, and I'm working on a doctorate in educational leadership focused on character, citizenship, and servant leadership. Love so it. Talk about onions here, right?
This is the beauty of humans.
Yes, totally. And I intentionally came on this show today thinking I don't want to come on and pitch anything, because that's not what your show is about, but that's what most podcasts are about, right? I just want to have a great conversation. So I'm setting this up with the intention to have a great conversation. And here's the first key point that I want to make. My oldest daughter was born with Down syndrome, and that completely upended what I thought about learning and how people learn and what good learning is. And I got to tell you, that experience of having a child with a disability like that has been incredibly transformative for me. And it did two things that I think are really important. Number one, it took away all expectations of what kids can and can't do, which has been so powerful for me because I no longer have expectations for other human beings. I just allow people to live their own lives and to achieve at whatever level they are able to achieve. And so I've really taken expectations out of the equation, which you don't know how freeing that is, Stacey, to take away all expectations. It's incredible.
I do actually on one level, because I'm much like you. I've worked with the toughest kids on the planet, right? Like, and I've seen people show up in the biggest ways. And I think when we manage expectations, when we remove our expectations, when we leave our Judgy McJudgerton outside, and in the clinical world, we have a saying called meet people where they're at. When we meet people where they're at, then we see the beauty in what they can do, who they become, how it looks. Like, we're not holding them back because we're meeting them where we're at. We're meeting them where they're at, and we let them bloom and blossom. And it sounds like you really had that beautiful experience.
Yeah. And it's incredible. And what I found is that when we take away our expectations, that people typically rise above our previous level of expectations or what they would have been. And I think a great way to illustrate this is to talk about a kid who's learning addition. And so if a kid is learning addition and you want them to know that 2 + 2 = 4, as an educator, if you say this is our learning target, then when kids get to that learning target, they think I have arrived and I'm done and there's no more interest, right? When the expectation of that learning target is taken away and you are just talking about addition, kids start asking the next question. Well, if 2 + 2 = 4, what's 2 + 2 + 2? Well, that's actually called multiplication, which is repeated addition. Let's start talking about that. And this was illustrated to me beautifully during the pandemic when we were doing homeschool, and my youngest daughter wanted to learn multiplication. So I, being the educator, said, here's a 10 by 10 chart that tells you how to multiply and what that looks like. And she's like, this doesn't work. This isn't what I want. And I was like, yeah, it does here. You just find 5 × 7 = 35. And this is how you make it work. And she's like, but Dad, I want to find out what 13 times 15 is. And it's not on here. And I was like, oh, I'm such an idiot. What was I thinking? That's not what she's going for. She's not looking for the regular grid that we give kids. She wants something more. And I should have taught her the fundamentals of multiplication rather than teaching her the standard of multiplication. And that's where I went wrong. But I have about a million more stories of doing that all through education. That one just happens to be one of my favorites.
I love that. And I think that you're 100% correct. When we remove expectations, people show up in a way different way and way bigger than we ever dreamed of. Totally. And I love that you shared that you landing in education is a non-traditional way of landing in education, which also, right, mirrors that we have so many non-traditional kids in our systems. And that's part of the beauty of these chitty chats is change makers are non-traditional.
Yep.
Change makers are the people who come in and say, I'm going to try something different. And so you said there were two points that you wanted to make. And one was about this piece of removing expectations. Do you remember what your other point was?
Yes. The other point is that the way that we each learn is unique and individual to us. No matter what is going on, no matter what classroom we're in, or no matter how hard we try to do the science of reading, everything that we do is unique and individual to us. Because the reality is that nothing that we learn long-term or that will stay with us is learned except only within us. That's the only way that everything is learned. And so that idea is just mind-blowing for me. Because when you take away the expectations and then you realize that everybody learns in their own way, then there are things we can do to facilitate and help the learning for sure. But when it comes right down to it, the best teacher providing the best lesson is never going to reach 100% of the kids perfectly every single time. And two kids can be sitting right next to each other having the same exact experience and both take away different things from that learning. And so my big thing that I'm trying to figure out that I don't know how to do is how do we honor whatever learning kids have within our education system? And rather than seeing things that they learn outside of the four walls of the classroom as it doesn't count or it's not worthwhile, how about we start recognizing that and taking advantage of those things they learn and allowing them to flourish with those things that they learn, especially what Marvin Berkowitz calls the organic skills rather than the mechanistic skills. And the organic skills are what we would typically call soft skills. And I'm going to steal his phrase and use organic from now on, because that's the best way to describe them, because they are organic and they are unique to each individual. And the mechanistic skills are ones that we can explicitly teach and say, this is how you do it. But there are a lot of other skills that people have to learn on their own, and that people learn on their own regardless of what we're trying to teach them.
It's so fascinating that we're having a conversation about education and students, and these are the things adults are also dealing with.
Exactly. That's the amazing thing.
How many times have we been in meetings with adults, parts of systems with adults, and they're struggling with their own, like, how do I contribute? How we all have a unique voice. And one of my favorite things about educators is education is a very unique experience, right? Based on who the teacher is. And when teachers bring their own individuality into that classroom and their own humanness in that classroom, it lands differently and sometimes in a more authentic way with their students. And so I love that you're bringing light to all of this, Jethro.
Yeah. And I wish that I had a way to say, here's the evidence behind it. Here's the science why this is working. And I don't have that yet, but there are things that I know that I can't yet prove. And we all have those experiences, right? We all have things that we know that the science won't ever say this is what it is. But you and I both know this thing for me is very real, and I can't ever possibly deny it. It would be crazy to.
Yeah. Well, I do think some science supports you. And the reason I say that is because we do have science about relationships. Mm-hmm. We do have science connected to the importance of relationships with learning and education and development and growth. And the best relationships are the most authentic. The best relationships are when two people show up as who they are. And so we don't necessarily have science around authenticity, although I just had a survey about authenticity from a researcher. So it's coming, right?
Good.
But we definitely have these conversations about belonging and connection and what does that mean? And I think every person who's listening to this, and definitely you and I, one of the reasons I connected with you is because you're authentic, because you show up as Jethro Jones. Because you show up as the person you are. And then what an honor for me that I've gotten to peel back some of these layers and learn that there's so much more to you than just those 10 minutes that I got to sit with you in this crazy crowded place. And now, right now, because that authenticity landed, now we get to go deeper. And I think that's what's cool about what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think this is a good place to add that part of that authenticity that I try to approach each new relationship with is that if I'm not willing to be in a relationship with this person in 10 years, then it's not worth my time doing anything with them right now. And so I take this decade long view of what are we going to look like in 10 years? So I hope that you and I are still connected in 10 years. And here's the crazy thing. When I take that perspective, the pressure really comes off, because I'm like, oh, we have 10 years to figure out whatever this is going to look like. And I think that is just incredible. And I just find so much value in thinking more long-term like that, because you show up differently. And if I'm not willing to invest in you over the next 10 years, then I probably shouldn't waste any of my time right now with you at all. And there have been people where I've been like, boy, I don't think I want to be associated with this person in 10 years. And it is so easy to then say, no, we're not going to do, we're not going to do a podcast interview. We're not going to do whatever, because I don't want to be connected with you in 10 years. That's much more rare than saying, I probably do want to be with this person in 10 years. What does that actually look like? And that's a really powerful thing that I've recently started saying out loud when I've really felt that inside for a long time. And I think that's part of why I come across as more authentic, because I am very eager to develop a deeper relationship with people.
It makes a big difference, right? That vulnerability, that authenticity. One of the things I tell my new clients when I see them is just be prepared for me to fall in love with you.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that blows people's minds. Like, therapists can't fall in love with their clients. That's a taboo.
Yeah.
But I like sort of live that in my life. And what I've found is I have clients who call me 25 years later who are like, hey, I want to celebrate this with you. I have people in my life for a long time. I love the view of that. And I think it lends to you being Jethro. How does that transition, this piece of, okay, education, learning, authenticity, now I'm in the podcast world. How does that transition? Because you're creating content that's going to last for a really, really long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So absolutely. So what is so fascinating is that's where it started, is that I felt like I was not getting the kind of learning that I needed as a school principal all the way back in 2013. And so I said, I need to go find my own learning. And so I started listening to podcasts. Well, I started listening a little bit before that, but I started listening to podcasts. And then I said, there's not a podcast that's answering my questions. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go start one myself. And that's where Transformative Principle came from. And so now, over a decade later, I still produce a podcast every single week, and I haven't missed a week for that whole entire time. There have been some scheduling snafus where things came out late or whatever, but the reality is I've always had an episode ready to go. And I just find that incredible, because the only things that I've committed to longer than that podcast are my marriage to my wife and my faith. Those two things are the only things that I've stuck with for that long. And I'm amazed. And now I feel like, how can I ever walk away from that? Because I've got all the systems in place, and it is really helping me learn individually in a way that makes sense for me. And I've started all these other podcasts because I'm curious about other things. And so why not just share that with other people?
Love
and
that.
If it grows, and like Transformative Principle has over 1.5 million downloads, and that's incredible. I love it. But my other shows maybe don't have as much, and that's okay too. And it's not all about getting a big audience, but what it is about my own personal journey and then sharing that with other people. And I think that is incredibly valuable.
So I want to make a clarification. Your kids are not as old as your podcast.
No, my kids are older than my podcast.
You've committed to them long-term also.
Well, that's true. But I just want
to make sure, right? Yes. Like, we've got people listening to their parents, Jethro. I want to make sure that you're just as committed to your kids as you are to your podcast.
Yes, mostly. I am.
I mean, they launch eventually, yes. Right? Okay, yes. I just want to clear that up. Second, you've been podcasting way before podcasting was cool. And I think that's a really important piece of this conversation, because how people get into podcasting, what they do on their podcast, what this means, you started like, I'm not selling anything. I'm just talking to people. And that is how I learn. That's how I learn about the human experience. And I shared with you before we started recording today that this has been one of the biggest delights of my life. And I can see in you that learning and doing what you're doing through Transformative Principle and these other podcasts that have grown along the way have been a joy for you also. Is that a fair assessment? Oh,
yes. I mean, I look forward to it, and I've been trying to find ways that I can just be podcasting all day long for a long time. How can I make this my career and make this what I do every day? Because I really do love doing it, and it is so much fun to me that I don't want to ever stop doing it, because I just love talking to people and building relationships. And here's the thing, any person, I can talk to anybody and one, make an interesting podcast out of it, Two, help them find a podcast that they could do that would be interesting and worthwhile for them. And I don't even care about the downloads or the numbers or anything like that, because it's not about all of that stuff. It's about the inputs, and it's about you on the front end saying, I want to do this to learn more, talk more, share more, whatever the case may be. I can find that for anybody. I haven't met anybody where I'm not like, here's the podcast you should start, because I really do think that everybody should have one. And it's incredibly empowering to have a thing that you produce and share with other people, and that you can be vulnerable on, authentic on, and that you can, you know, basically nerd out about. And I just think that that is a ton of fun. And I love having opportunities to share that with people.
So part of the other piece that you do is you help people on the back end of their podcasts.
Yes.
So you have all sorts of topics, I'm sure, people that you work with. And for me, this is the other way that you and I have gotten to know each other, is I'm like, listen, Jethro, I got a dream. And you're like, let me help you with your dream. And very few people are willing to meet dreamers where they are and help them action it. And I think that's a really, that's one of the things I want to say about you, is you absolutely go, there's a dreamer and I got some ways to help them with that. And I think that's a big piece of helping people be authentic. And so talk to me a little bit about that piece for you.
Well, when I talked to you, I could tell that one, you had a ton of energy. I could tell that you had a passion for what you were doing and that you really wanted to have chitty chats, right? You wanted to be able to talk to people. And very quickly, I could also tell that that was overwhelming. And the idea of putting it all together was like, oh, I just don't want to do that. And for me, because I've been doing it for so long, I already have the systems in place. So for example, one of the things that you didn't have in place that I helped you with is helping you set up a scheduling link for free that doesn't cost you anything, that you can say, here's the spot on my calendar. You can just send that link to people and they can sign up. And this was something that I figured out literally years ago, almost a decade ago, because my schedule was busy when I started, and it still is, but I needed to find a way to be able to interview people and make it possible. When I was in Alaska, how could they get on my show and how could we make it work so that it wasn't terrible? Now, when I was in Alaska, I was doing podcast interviews at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So during that time, my voice was really, really deep. But the thing is, like, you've got to find ways to make it easy for people to do the things that they want to do. And that's what I saw, is you have this deep passion, this energy, you can do it, but all that other stuff was just slowing you down. And you don't need to know how to do all that other stuff, because somebody else can do that. And that's the beauty, is I could see what your potential was if somebody could just unlock the floodgates. And that's what I felt like I personally could do very easily for you from my perspective, but very difficult for you from your perspective.
Well, I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, here's a link. People can have access to your calendar. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. I need you to co-regulate me through that. I don't know if I can do that. And then you're like, listen, lady, you got dreams. You want these dreams to happen. You got to let go of some of your control. And this is a safe way to do that. And I can't say enough about that, because here's the other thing that gets in people's way. At least it has in mine. I've been a solopreneur now for over 20 years, right? And one of the things that gets in my way is investing in my passion. And that is a really important piece, right? Sometimes dollars, money, what's it going to cost me? How does this look? And you like showed up with a package and said, this is how we invest you in your passion, and we scale you up and we help you out. And so, yes, this is a conversation about Jethro and passion and education and who Jethro is. And part of who you are is helping people do the next piece of investing in their passion. And I just think that's just undervalued. We don't talk about that in that way. There are a lot of us little minions on this planet who have a big passion. And we need help. We need help. Yeah. And we need people like you to help us. And that is something I see in you that's passionate.
Yeah, well, and I love unlocking people's potential, and I believe that that's what I have a gift and a skill set to do. So, like, thinking about your situation, knowing that you can have these chitty chats on a consistent schedule, what does that unlock for you in other areas of your life? What does that unlock in your brain to be able to say, oh, here's what I can do?
Well, let me tell you what happened to me today. I listen to podcasts all the time, and I have been, dreaming big. Who do I want? Who do I want to have a chitty chat with? And today I was like, I just wrote down on my vision board some pretty big names. And that wouldn't have happened if I was thinking about, oh my gosh, I gotta record, I gotta edit, I gotta add music, I gotta schedule. Because I don't have energy for that, right? And that stuff is hard for me. Having a conversation, not as hard. All the other things, so hard, and their time suck and their passion suck. And so what that has unlocked for me is a dream of having bigger conversations, not bigger, but different conversations with people who have things to add, people who add value in a way that, hey, I might not have dreamed of having a conversation with them if I didn't have that energy. So I think it's about really unlocking energy and passion. Because
Absolutely.
I don't want to do the things I don't want to do,
Yeah.
Jethro. Much like you don't want to have relationships with people you're not going to have relationships in 10 years. I don't want to edit this.
Yeah. And
I'm not good at that.
that's totally understandable. And that's the thing that I love your answer, that this makes you more able to dream about how you can get the right people on this show, people that may feel like they're out of reach. So this happened to me also. And I was like, I really wanted to interview Seth Godin. Do you know who he is?
I do. Great guest.
Yes. And he charges a lot of money to go and speak anywhere. And he has strong opinions about education. I thought this guy's going to be perfect for my show. But why would he come on my show? I'm a nobody all the way in Alaska. There's no way. But here's the thing, because I had a passion and because I believed in it so much, I had the confidence then to go out and ask him. And he did say yes. And it was an amazing interview that I refer back to regularly and just incredible. Now, here's the key for someone like you, because your mind is now opened and it's easy for you to do this podcast on a regular basis. You can then do the exact same thing with someone that is a quote unquote big fish in your world and feel confident reaching out to them because you have systems in place that are going to make it a good experience for both of you, rather than thinking like, oh, I have to do all this special stuff to make this work. Man, that is really difficult to do the big things when the little things are stumbling blocks and getting in your way.
I 100% agree. And I am my best friend, Katie, who someday will be on this podcast and I can talk her into it. She's often said, Stacey, you're a visionary, but you cannot get shit complete. And I am like, yeah. And I've just learned over time, I need people to help me get where I need to go. And one of the things I've appreciated about you, Jethro, is you're authentic, you're real, you're also honest. Stacey, stop managing your calendar. Use this link. And I'm like, oh, and you understand I'm kicking and dragging, but I'll try it out, right? And
Yeah.
so I want to talk to you about this technology piece. You got into podcasting, you're in education, and now you've got this technology piece. Like, how has that changed your life going down that part of this journey for you?
Well, that goes all the way back to my first year teaching when I was in an inner city school and I was the only white person in the class, and my students were, for some reason, not interested in the big, thick literature book that we had to read. And we came to the poetry unit, and they were like, this is dumb. We don't understand it. We don't like it. And I was like, well, what do you want to do instead? And they're like, well, we really like rap music. And I was like, well, that's poetry. And they're like, really? No, it's not. It's rap music. I was like, trust me, it's poetry, kids. And they were
Yeah.
like, I don't know. So we started listening to their music, and some of it, yes, was very inappropriate, and I probably shouldn't have played it, and I should have reviewed the lyrics first, but they're
Met them
already
where they were
listening to it.
at. You met
That's
them where they
right.
were at.
So then they wanted to start writing their own rap music, and I was like, well, that's cool, but it doesn't matter if I'm the only one reading it, because I don't care about your rap music, but you do, and your friends do. And I want you all to be published writers. So we're going to create a school blog and you're going to blog online. Now, this was way back before it was what it is. And so it was very much the Wild West. And even though I go away from this philosophy now, I did have them all create pseudonyms so that they weren't posting as themselves to protect their privacy. And I think that you being identified online is much more important now than it used to be, because you need to, you want to create your identity online. And we get into a whole different discussion about that, but I don't think that's the point. So this technology allowed me to give my students an opportunity to create real content that actually mattered to them. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I've always just thought, how can I use this technology to connect with my students and help them? And then also, how do I use it to make my life better than it would be otherwise? And I mean, there's like a million nerdy things that I could go into there, but we'll stop. We'll pause there for your thoughts.
Well, I think that it's critical that a few of those things. You met students where they were at, right? I had a discussion with a teacher one day about the F-bomb. And I was like, the F-bomb we're all triggered about is actually not the F-bomb we should be worried about. The F-word we should be worried about is the feelings behind the F-bomb. Mm-hmm. And I said, if we keep getting caught up on that F-bomb that everybody's triggered by, we never get to the good stuff. And there's such beauty in that piece of just meeting people where they're at and seeing their learning. And then the piece of how far technology has come, right? There was a time when we did hide behind pseudonyms and we didn't want everything on there. And then creating the personal content, I mean, you are living proof of that. Hey, I wanted a podcast and there wasn't one out there of what I wanted, so I created it. These kids need other information. They're creating it. And there's beauty in that we're living in a time when we can do that, right? You yeah. and I grew up, we did not have technology in this way. Mm-hmm. I tell my kids all the time, they're like, how did you manage phones when you were in high school? It's like, we didn't have a phone. We had we got a second line because my sister was on it all the time, right? Like that's, right? It's just a totally different world. And I think there's so much beauty in technology can add value.
Yeah.
In a way that can really be beautiful.
Well, it can, and it is, it can also add a lot of destruction and challenge as well. And the thing is that it's about how you use it. And so like one of the other podcasts I create is called A Vision for Learning, which is all about the future of learning in using virtual reality, augmented reality, mixed reality, artificial intelligence, all this kind of stuff. And bringing that all in and talking about it, because it's such a key point to where the future is going. And we need to be aware of it and know what its possibilities are. And here's the real difference that I think.
Okay, hold on. Okay. I want to hear the difference, but I want to say to my audience, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, right? Like we're venturing into a world where people are a little scared to go. And I want them to check in with their bodies. I want them to be like, we're open. We're listening. Jethro's got ideas. We haven't already gone down this road yet. Okay, now go. What's the difference? Help us out.
The real difference is that when social media came out, we all just let the social media companies do whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. And we didn't advocate. And I'm speaking specifically to us educators. We should have taken a much stronger stand and we should have been much more involved in the development of those than we were. And I think that's led to a lot of negative outcomes in a lot of different ways. And I think we have a real opportunity with artificial intelligence and things like that to say, this is what we need for this stuff to work. So for example, Shannon Putman, who I had on Vision for Learning, talked about how she's been using virtual reality for many years. And she uses it in her class to give students repetition. She was a special ed teacher to give students repetition for things that they don't typically get good repetition for. So the example she shared was in virtual reality, there would be three circles in the sky, in the classroom or like in the air. And students would have to throw a football through the one with the right answer. And if there was no right answer, they'd have to throw it away and not go through any one of those hoops. Now, here's the amazing thing about this. Getting kids to do repetitive drill and kill math stuff is really difficult when they feel dumb and when they feel like it's too hard. And so using artificial intelligence and augmented reality, you can design setups that allow them to get lots of practice in a fun way that is real in a sense, but not so real that they're coming up against their frustration level and just giving up because it's too hard, and then exhibiting behaviors that take them away from any opportunity to learn the content that you're trying to teach them. And so finding ways to bring this stuff in and make it worthwhile and meaningful for our students is incredibly powerful and totally worthwhile. But yes, it is also scary. So I think we really need to be focused on telling companies, this is what we need, and we need you to work with us on it.
Love that. I love all of it. All of it. And I also love that you probably triggered some of our audience members. Their bodies are activated. But that's what this is about. Activation equals growth. And it's really important to me that there are people like you on the planet who are like, let's have these conversations. Let's talk about the hard things. Let's talk about the things that make people uncomfortable that might feel scary, but we can come at it from a love-based approach versus a fear-based approach. And having the conversations is the important piece. So, Jethro, we could talk for hours. We're just going to have to do another round two at some point.
I think so. Let's continue it on Transformative Principle, and you come on that one. And I mean, we started on Resilient Schools, then we'll do Transformative Principle. You might have another podcast by then. Who knows?
I love this. So let's talk about how people can get a hold of you. So also author, right? You have all these back-end pieces that are helping solopreneurs. You have these podcasts. You're also a speaker and a trainer.
That's right.
Oh, the layers of Jethro. That's what we're going to call it. Callie, the layers of my dad.
I mean, the thing that's crazy is I feel like I have my fingers in so many pots that people say you should specialize and just like be this one thing. And I just can't do it because I feel like that's too constricting. And
that's why we're friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Jethro Jones on all the social networks, jethrojones.com. And my phone number is even 8017 Jethro. So you could even call me and I will pick that thing up.
That is fantastic. That's the power of the 8017 Jethro.
That's right.
The fact that you have that as a phone number makes me love you even more. So
I know. Thank you, Google Voice.
I feel ridiculously thankful for you. What an honor to be on the planet the same time as you and see all the amazing ways you're impacting the world. And thank you for not just siloing one thing about yourself. Thank you for being all of the things that you are and letting us be a part of that. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.